You're on Big Head Mode. We've got a jam-packed show tonight. We're going to be doing a little bit of a rundown on Bonus Stage, which was again this week. I'm in the studio with Carlo and Tom.
Hello. Benny boy.
Guys, are you ready to talk about the games that have ruined all your friendships? I'm thinking Mario Party, Mario Kart.
I don't have any friendships left because of video games.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Well, that's a good one. This, of course, is because we are going to be talking about Dungeon League, the great indie game that that launched on Early Access today. That's all coming up in the show on Bonus Stage, 2RRR's only gaming radio show. That's right, you are on Big Head Mode, and we're here to talk games right at you, loud, fast.
And on the dial.
That's right. That is, what, maybe the third, fourth time now we've played Bardia's new composed theme, and I still don't think he's actually been on the show to hear it. I reckon we stop using it when he comes back.
As soon as he gets back, change it.
Sorry, old mate Bards. Yeah, so we had Bonus Stage again this week. Great, great, fun little show.
It was a lot of laughs, it was a lot of good times, it was a lot of great fun.
For people who don't know, Bonus Stage is our monthly gaming talk show. We do it at the Joan Dwarf Theatre in Redfern.
This month we had Cara Jensen McKinnon, who's a 4-times Tetris champion.
And can I just say, that's probably like one of my life's greatest highlights. The moment where
we handed her the
controller to play Tetris, and she was kind of a bit anxious because it's like, you know, being great at Tetris is one thing. Having to prove yourself to be great at Tetris in front of, like, a room full of people on stage is different. And there was just this great spontaneous of sort of encouragement of the whole audience to start singing the Tetris theme.
Yeah.
And they did it. I mean, in my experience, audiences generally go, no, we won't do that thing.
It was wonderful. Everybody got so into it, and then she started killing it.
Yeah. The band who crowded around to watch her play Tetris, like, bolted to the back of the stage to start playing the music along with the Tetris theme.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
It was a good moment.
And you robbed me of a quiz victory.
I didn't rob you. Game's rules clearly were very specific.
All I'm saying is I feel like those rules were sort of...
The audience
They contradicted
Ben.
Themselves a little bit. That is true. I mean, I suppose it was fair in that it was 30 people competing as one unit.
As a hive mind, if you will.
Yeah. And that was, of course, Carlo's Furnace of Fun, copyright Big Head Mode. So no one else can steal that format. But apart from that, I mean, you know, that's done and dusted, you know.
That's gone. It's just a breath on the air.
That's right. That's just
gone forever.
A breeze the from the wings of a butterfly that will never be seen again.
It's like a can of beans. You're never going to... Do they exist?
Maybe. Probably.
I don't want to know if they do.
But, you know, one show's gone, another pops up. We have another show coming up. This is going to be August 26th, and we've got Louis McCurdy from Triple J on.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Louis McCurdy fans. I've had a lot of people message me going, you got Louis McCurdy?
I'm like, Louis McCurdy.
Do we ever?
Rocking it to you.
Yeah. So, you know, that's coming up. But yeah. I want to talk about...
If you get there, you can actually see what he looks like.
I've seen what he looks like.
Really?
Yeah.
Put a face to the voice?
Yeah. He's got Facebook, mate. He's all up in that social media business.
He had a little facey stalky.
You were saying he had a little face.
No.
I'd say normal-sized face. His face-to-head ratio was moderate.
Normal-sized facey, normal-sized stalky.
Just the regular amount of stalky.
Use your words, Carla.
But look, aside from Bonus Stage... let's talk about that other thing that we really like, which is the gaming. You know, the first thing I did after Bonus Age was done and dusted, and I got home, was like, I can just game and not feel like I should be working on something else right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the best 24-hour guilt-free gaming period, straight after Bonus Stage. It's like, okay, this is it. This is when I just go hell for leather and I just game up a bloody storm. I'm talking, I hit up some Witcher, there's a bit of Batman in there, played a few little sort of indie games that I've just had sitting around on my...
Well, look at old Luxury Life Ben. Luxury Life Ben in his big old gaming tower.
That's look. It's good up this in this tower because like you don't need windows because you're not looking at anything else outside. It's all just your life is contained within the tower. Mm. Nothing exists outside of it.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
We played a lot of great games at Bonus Stage. Actually, I mean, Dungeon League, of course, we'll be talking about that later in the show. That was there again, and that killed it. I mean, that is a great indie game.
Mm.
It's great for when there's a crowd around and you've got an audience. You know, it makes every cool move that you do so much cooler.
Absolutely. Or conversely, there are people talking, it makes every awful move that you do a crippling shame of which you can never escape.
See, Carlo and I have never made any bad moves.
Are you also an undefeated champion?
Yes.
Am I right?
Ooh. Okay, look, we'll get to this later.
How's it feel to be...
We're getting to this later, Carlo, okay?
Okay, mate.
I've got to do my heavy breathing before we address that particular dark part of my life. The other game we played at Bonus Stage, Fibbage, like the Jackbox party games, which I hadn't played before. I've seen Let's Plays and stuff of it online. Mm. That is a great game.
It's just an electronic port of...
Balderdash? No,
Balderdash, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, except you can play it with your mates on your phones, sitting around, having some good times.
I had to borrow someone's phone to play it. And, you know, it was like moderately fun, I guess.
Did you win, Tom?
You had a great time, Tom.
I didn't lose.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I was second from last.
I suppose that's not... Second you're not the loser, right, but you're a first. Loser. It's the way to look at that one. Carlo, I would ask you a question, okay? When you answer it quite honestly, have you played anything that isn't The Witcher in the last week?
I played Dungeon League.
Okay, anything that wasn't at Bonus Stage. Is The Witcher still your soul?
Yep.
Have you moved beyond...
No, Ben, and I'm not going to. I've just made it to Skellige.
We're so... look, Tegan's not here now to back you up, all right? We're so close to needing intervention time for your, like...
But also, in the last 2 weeks, I reckon I've played all up maybe 6 hours of gaming.
In the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. I've had no time. No time at all.
Oh. Jeez.
Wait. It's killing me.
Ben, you need to come out of
your
tower.
Do you know when the next time that I have free time to play games...
Let Carlo in.
I have free time on Sunday, maybe... And then I have a little bit of time through the week, and then I'm going away for 3 weeks without my Xbox.
All right, Mr. Braggy.
That's all I'm hearing, Carlo. That's all I'm hearing.
Unless
excuses.
You've got a DS, mate.
You got a portable gaming device.
Yeah.
You can take that wherever you bloody well want.
I can't play Gwent on it.
You've got a phone.
Yeah, I guess.
You can.
It's not as good as
download Gwent. Hearthstone. Hearthstone. It's and it's basically
Gwent. It's not Gwent.
It's just a more complicated and deep gameplay experience than Gwent.
I don't need it to be complicated and deep. I need it to be basic, and I need it to have a lot of characters that I recognize.
And I need
and
it
enjoy.
To be Gwent. So the three like categories you have for every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
RPGs, first person shooters, Gwent. That's it. That's all I want.
Tom, I'm serious. We need, he needs help.
It's getting bad.
That's why Star Citizen excites me. It'll be a first-person shooter that's an RPG, and I can make people play Gwent with me.
It'd be great if you started just looking at other multiplayer games as a way to meet people and then convince them to play Gwent.
I'm sure we can play Gwent in GTA 5.
You could be like just a surprise Gwent salesman in other games. Like Elder Scrolls, there you are, just hanging outside the entrance with a flute. Hey, have you heard about Gwent? What? Is that a thing I can play in this game? No.
But meet me in Redfern in Australia, and I can play all the Gwent you want.
We haven't played any GTA for quite a while. It's might be
sad.
It.
We played it last week, didn't we?
You and I did very briefly, but I mean the whole gang, you know?
We need a whole heist.
We need to start.
We need Tom Lady Plants McClurkin.
Lady Plants is a different nickname to the one we gave him.
Lady Plants.
Also, I feel like, you know, we should try and organize, and this is for you wonderful listeners, try and organize some sort of big group GTA session.
We get all in
get
one
listeners
plane
involved,
and Ben blows
get,
us up.
Get bonus. See, that would be great. We'd all have fun there, wouldn't we, Carlo? Everyone would win, hey?
A lot of laughs.
Deary me. But look, let's. Why don't we go some music, and then we're going to come back out of that, and we talk about some news, of which there is a lot. But for now, let's just relive some classic game show moments with Grunty's Furnace Fun. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Okay, all right, we're fired up and ready to do that quiz stuff. Okay.
Whiz, miz, miz, miz.
News story the first. Let's talk the biggest and baddest story to come out in the last week, and we can't escape EB Games.
It's
this
bad.
Kotaku expose. Boy, that's not good for them. It's really not good.
Yeah, come on.
All the people involved.
EB, don't be a bunch of cants.
Okay. That's like, all right. Hey.
The truncated version of cannot, right?
Yeah, it was. It was.
That wasn't,
because
that
the other thing you can't
word.
Say on live radio.
No.
So, woo.
All right.
That's why I said can't.
Okay. All right. It wasn't a good look. It wasn't a good look for anyone involved. And, I mean, in the days since that came out, a lot of people have been piping up with their own stories. I've certainly spoken to a lot of ex-EB employees who are like, either, oh, I met that guy and he never said that, or, yeah, all of this is true.
Yeah.
So,
I've been hearing horror stories about from EB employees for years, like well before this article came out. So it's good that it's getting the attention.
Yeah. I was interested as well. Like, a good friend of ours who came to Bonus Stage on Wednesday, she was saying she was one of the first girls to ever work for EB in Australia. This is only 5 years ago. There were 6 girls in the whole of Australia working for EB.
Really?
They had no female uniforms. They just had to wear the male uniforms. It's pretty frightening. Maybe it was a little further beyond that.
Yeah, Ben and I are making eye contact with each other because I'm sure that we've known people.
Just because my girlfriend worked at EB 5 years ago, and I'm thinking, she wasn't special then, was she?
Well, maybe it was...
I should have put her on a pedestal and been more like, my God, you are one of the...
Yeah, but no, she definitely was... So I don't know when she worked for them, but...
But yeah, either way, that
doesn't surprise
me.
There were 6 women in the whole of the organisation.
I remember growing up like with EB being around that there were never women, and it just kind of became a thing. All of a sudden, it wouldn't surprise me if it was obviously this is speculation, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was a direct result of, you know, a policy change.
It just seems like an awful company, you know?
Well, I've also heard, I mean, they've opened this other company, Zing, which is, it's a different store, but owned by EB.
Right.
And it's just all that pop culture merchandise and stuff. And I know a couple of people who work at one of them, and I've heard just as many stories about that place, you know, because obviously it's the same management structure. But the main thing seems to be this lack of HR department. So it's just sort of like, and they're happy to not have an HR department because then they can just plead ignorance to any of these problems. It's sort of like, that's a store issue. That's not a wider company issue because we have no way of actually
making it a company issue.
Exactly. That's a bizarre excuse to me. That's like saying, it's like if the government was like, well, if we didn't have a healthcare system, then we couldn't be blamed for a bad healthcare system.
Yeah.
So let's just not have that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, And
I think the other problem is, like, a lot of gamers sort of like, oh, sweet, you know, I can work in a job where I'll be playing games and talking about games. And they kind of idealize it and get into it. And, you know, at first it's sort of, at least in this article, they were saying that, you know, people get into this and they're happy to do a couple of extra hours here and there, and then it just sort of blows out into this major thing, and as well as all the bullying and harassment that has allegedly been going on.
Well, it seems like that's the sneakiest management tactic, this whole sort of unsaid but implied thing that, like, look, this is a very highly sought-after job for young gamers.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't, you know, we're not asking you to do these unpaid hours, but, you know, if you don't, we can easily get someone who will. Mm. You know, if you start asking too many questions like, why can't I go home? I haven't eaten for 3 days. Can I have a break? You know, if you ask those kind of questions, it's like, hang on a second. No.
Bloody problem makers.
Yeah. Bloody old whistleblowers and question askers.
Undesirable.
Yeah. So, look, that's a shame. I really think that, that over the next, say, maybe 6 months, stuff's going to keep trickling out. Like, now that, like, that story was quite big and it's an open discussion that people are having, like, I think all it's going to take is that one angry manager that gets a rant filmed on an employee's mobile phone or something, or someone live tweeting a, you know, an event like that, and it's just going to...
But see, it alarms me. What concerns me a lot about this is that EB has not at all handled this. They haven't said anything. They're not doing anything. No, it's not a problem. We had an inquiry. We had an internal inquiry, and we found that these were all just fabricated. Mm. Let's move on. You know, and even when this article came out this week, EB didn't announce a statement. They didn't confirm or deny anything. They've just sort of... It feels like they want this to just burn out, which is really... Come on, EB.
Let's not let it burn out. Let's instead just go and firebomb some of the stores.
No, okay, all right. Okay, so between the two of you, you both said some pretty great stuff for a radio show. So, yeah, no, definitely not regretting having you on. John, just make sure to cancel their appearances. Yeah, thanks. All right. Sorry, that was producer.
Great time to take a call, Ben.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Just make sure you take out Tom first. He's the problem one. All right. Look, on with the show. Hey. All right. Did you see about the Tomb Raider game?
Why does John keep looking at me funny?
No. Ignore John, Tom. Okay, ignore John.
What's the news about Tomb Raider?
Ignore that thing he's holding in his hands.
Tomb Raider?
Yeah. So...
Wait, someone who raids tombs.
This is what happens.
You can't even keep us on the track.
I know.
We're not even trying to derail you here.
Sometimes there are tracks in tombs.
Yeah, you're not derailing. You're just like, you've just put...
Can we talk about Tomb Tracker?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, Tomb Raider. So,
roller coaster
the game
token.
That was going to be an exclusive for Xbox One, it's official now that it is definitely coming out for PS4 and PC.
Okay.
But it's coming out late next year. Whereas the Xbox One is coming out this year. So it is back to that original story that this is a timed exclusive. Like during the last, you know, the recent E3, they were really ambiguous in their wording of the dates and what have you.
Mm.
You know, and it led a lot of people to think maybe Microsoft have actually just paid a bunch load more cash to lock this down as a console exclusive. Mm. But I don't know, like, I know a few people who've already said, oh, look, I know it's coming out on PS4, but, like, I don't want to wait a year, so I'll probably get an Xbox One.
Well, I mean...
And I wonder if it's going to be as effective as an exclusive for Xbox anyway.
It would be nice to see some more exclusives for Xbox One. That's the only thing I can take away from this story. I mean, I don't mind there being games that go across both platforms, but, you know, it's nice having that feeling of...
You've got it somewhere.
This is more valuable because other people can't have it.
Yeah. No, not even that. It's just sort of, this is a game made for this system and, you know, made with this company in mind. And there's some sort of, you know, it's like the Nintendo 64 versus the PlayStation. There was certain, I guess you would say, philosophical concepts that went with those consoles that went with the games that were coming out for them. You know, like Nintendo was really pushing this, we're a fun, playful, experimental company, and Sony was really like, we're a business. We're building brands.
Yeah, I get what you mean. You know, there isn't as clear a philosophical difference between...
It's just two
Xbox
different
and...
running systems. I mean, why don't they just join forces, make a really cool system, and just be, you know, at this stage...
Look, if this was Transformers, that would happen, you know.
Yeah.
Or Power Rangers.
It used
Rangers,
to be Decepticons
combined.
Versus, you know, Autobots.
Mm.
But now it's just,
you know, the one
where they're all dinosaurs and they're mates.
It's one of my favorite things when Carlo tries to comment on, like, pop culture stuff that he never watched.
I watched the old Transformatons. Gotta get them all, Transformers.
Yeah, that's true. What about you, Tom? What about you? I know you put on your cynical industry hat for a second. Right. Does this sway you or interest you or impress you as a exclusive that Xbox has, or does it seem shallow?
What I like about this is that, unlike with GTA 5, we've actually got a date as to when it'll be coming out on other platforms.
Mm.
I think timed exclusives are a waste and lame, but you know, it's been a very long time since I bought a game day one anyway, so it doesn't really affect me.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was a massive coup for Xbone or Microsoft to pick up Tomb Raider. And I think a year is long enough that a lot of people are going to be impatient enough to go, you know, I'll just buy a console and, you know, because maybe there were some other games that they were thinking of picking up or whatever. So, you know, I think from an industry perspective, it's, you know, from a business perspective, it's probably a good thing to do. But
I'm just going to make a little correction here, which I just noticed. So it's coming out early 2016 for Steam, but late 2016 just for PS4.
Right.
Just late 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
So PS4.
So they really are like the latest. So it's going to be Xbox One, and it says here Xbox 360, which I find weird. But anyway, it's going to be Xbox late this year. A few months later, you get it on PC. Then way down the end of next year, PS4.
So it's kind of like Mass Effect 1.
Mass Effect 1 was heaps later, wasn't it? Mass Effect 1 was almost like...
I don't think Mass Effect 1 ever came out on the PlayStation. You just got a comic.
Yeah. Did they go back and then re-release it years later?
I don't know.
I think there's someone with a laptop in this room.
After Mass Effect 2.
Why don't we get John, the producer, to look it up for us?
Actually, maybe Mass Effect 2 only came out on Xbox 360 and then got put out on...
Yeah, Mass Effect 2 definitely came out on PS...
Oh my god, this is so boring, guys. Let's talk about something else.
Anyway, guys, am I right? What a laugh.
What about them games? You know, it's funny, like...
Waka waka.
I hate the idea of those sort of bloody... you know, temporary exclusives. Mm. And I hated it when Destiny was like, oh yeah, PS4 gets all that extra exclusive content. I hated it. But then I only just realized this week that means we get a bunch of free quotations there, content for Xbox One, like, later next month, just because it's the stuff that everyone else got last year.
Right.
So it's sort of like...
Is it the story?
Yeah, well, it's gonna be some story.
No.
Whether it's good or not.
It'll be just all these chapters that link everything and suddenly everything makes sense and is compelling.
Right. While we're on the subject, are we going to mention that new Adam Sandler movie? There's a video going around at the moment, panning it. Peter Dinklage is in it. Hence the segue.
I think all I would say about that is watch the video. It's Movie Bob's Pixels review. It'll show you why you never have to see that movie or indeed anything by Adam Sandler ever again.
See, I had some friends posting it saying that such a vitriolic review made them want to see it just to revel in
Except
somebody
Tom,
else's
I think
hatred.
You'll find they're not friends. They're people you should never talk to. Anyone who willingly wants to see that movie. Look, I'm sure there are people in the audience who might be wanting to see it. And
have a great time.
All I'll say is watch this review by Movie Bob. And he makes some compelling arguments while you might not. If you still want to... I'm not going to judge you. Do what you want. You're in charge of your own bloody life, you know?
But great times.
Oh, you'll feel like an empty person. That's all I'm going to say. This is Geralt of Rivia from the Witcher 3 soundtrack. We're going to come back after this and talk about games that destroy friendships. And we're going to do it with a bloody grin on our faces. Right, guys?
No. Sure we are.
No, we're not. We probably won't survive this break. Be right back after this.
Brr.
Here we go.
Well, that is the sound that lets you know we're back here to talk into these damn microphones. Guys, let's talk... we're losing our minds tonight, guys. We really are.
This studio has a lot of...
Whenever we're in the backup studio, the B studio, it's like the feng shui of it. We just... It doesn't...
There is something
we turn
in
into
here.
Just weird creatures.
The ghosts of a couple of... Happy-go-lucky scamps are in here. A couple of larrikins ghosts.
That's right.
Are in Studio B.
But look, let's get on with the show because we're professionals and that's what we do.
Don't professionals get paid?
No,
are you going to reimburse me for my?
Wait, you haven't been paid, Tom?
Yeah, cash for comment. Every time you incite the audience to commit a crime, you get some sort of money. Games that make you never want to play with. Particular friends again. We've all played them many times with people in this room.
I think yours and mine definitely Mario Party.
That's the first one that I always go to.
But not for the reasons that we might think.
Okay, well hit me with yours.
Okay, so when we were younger, I didn't have a Nintendo 64, but Ben did. And whenever I went over to his place, I always wanted to play Mario Party. It was my favorite game. And Ben hated it. You know,
did I?
Yeah. There was a time when you just got incredibly
maybe just the
secret.
Frequency with which we played it.
Yeah, that's probably.
I mean, in my memory, I think maybe it's because like months would pass and a new game would come out, and I'd be like, "Hey, this game has multiplayer, and you'd go, let's play the same six maps again in Mario Party. Yeah, okay,
good maps.
They were Peach's Cake level, great level.
But I remember us like almost getting into fist fights over what we were going to play, and it wasn't just Mario Party.
I feel like over the years, I think we're still to this.
There's maybe a bit of seasoning on this story, but you know, I've got to cook
too
it right.
Much.
Got to cook it right.
No,
still very
just a little bit of paprika
al fresco.
Okay.
Maybe it was just me who wanted to hit you.
Maybe this was all happening internally, and I'm there going, yeah, okay, I don't mind playing Mario Party, and you're like, what does that mean? Why do you answer it that way? He never wants to play things the way I want to play.
Maybe
I can punch him in his stupid face. Meanwhile, I'm loading up the game going, all right, which character would it be? See, for me, it was probably the conventional reasons. Like you being a conniving little thief. Right. And bloody booing me, using boo, stealing up all my stars.
Mm.
Like the big thing, you and I, we tried to set up Mario Party to be fair. So it would just be you and I playing with two other computers. And it was just this sort of like standing agreement that if we got boo, you steal from the other players.
Right.
But there would you'd have those
Except when it was like turn 49 out of 50. And it was like, okay, Ben's going to beat me.
Yeah. Ben's got 8 stars.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong has like 10 coins and nothing.
Because we've been stealing.
Do I throw water out the window and steal from Ben? And then Boo's like, because it's Mario, because it's a Nintendo game and there's just no fairness or balance, Boo's like, well, I'll just take all the stars. Because wouldn't that be fun if a random act threw out the whole balance of the game at the last act? Yeah, that's
that sounds like fun, though.
Yeah? Look, speaking of random acts, like, that is also Mario Kart to a T. Like, the whole concept of the blue shell and the lightning and the whatever.
Also, just that some races are faster than others. You know, you got certain, like, especially now that you can choose cars.
Yeah. I know that that's an important part of racing games. I don't like it. Cause sometimes I go, you know what? I'd like to race as Bowser because he's a cool character.
He's a cool cat.
I don't want to just drive a garbage car and, like, be this super slow, chunky dude who can't turn.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm stop looking at me
See,
like that,
the
guys.
The game, for me, that broke a lot of friendships was Dead or Alive 4.
Really?
Or Dead or Alive 3. Whichever was on... It was Dead or Alive 3 and Dead or Alive Ultimate, which were on the original Xbox.
Mm. Mm.
That tore up a lot of good friendships.
Really?
Yeah, because it was just... You get so invested, you'd go round after round after round, and you'd do like best of 100 or something, and it just eventually
If
your opponent was better, because it would come down to such small amounts, like one punch or one kick would be the closeness. So the closer those matches became, and the more that they stacked up either way, you would just get more and more frustrated with your opponents. Because, oh man, and especially the countering system could just make or break a game. You'd be just about to win a match and then a counter would take you out and that would take them over the line. And, oh, it was some brutal stuff. Great game, though.
We've had a few suggestions on the old Twitter, and this one reminded me of another one. This is GoldenEye. Anyone, does Tegan says this, friend of the show, anyone who tried to separate me from my phantom in GoldenEye felt my wrath. I remember, Tom, you and I, like, several times when we played GoldenEye, we had to establish a no remote mines or proximity mines rule. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
We would play on mines only, and it would change the game to not being a fun, even, fair shooter, but a game where you just tiptoe through every room, because it would just be like every corner would have like 30 mines on it.
But also, because we were playing split screen, we both knew where the other had put their mines.
Yeah, yeah.
And so neither of us were going to walk into these, obviously, knowing that they were there. So we had to like sledge each other in order to like hope that like the other person would become enraged and charge.
Yeah. That was a great game for just sneakiness, you know? Like, when we realized that you could destroy the ammo boxes and then they came back. Remember? Like, so they blew up and then they respawned. But you could
chuck a proximity
chuck a bomb on it And like there was some tricky way that you could make it so that...
get the ammo, then chuck a bomb where
it would respawn on it. Yeah, and so it looked like this pristine ammo
Same thing in Perfect Dark.
Yeah. Like stuff like that that just would drive people mad. Or the other one was in the temple level or any level that had a secret passageway.
Mm.
You chuck the bombs on the passageway, then open it so that the wall with the bombs on it is up in the ceiling. And then when it... Yeah, yeah. So someone runs through there and goes, I'm going to close this opening so they can't see where I went. Proximity mine. Bang. Death. Right.
Dead. It's great. It's like the laptop gun in Perfect Dark. That was always a great way to really tick people off.
It's like I just remember the rage coming when you see that wobbly red blood screen and you're like, what? And this is before the days of Kill Cam and, of course, online multiplayer. So you knew exactly who did it. Like, you turn to look at it. You don't know how they did it. You just know who did it. And you look at them and you're
like, it's the one giggling maniacally.
I'm going to murder you.
In the game.
I
remember original clan competitions for Halo, the first Halo, and we were going. I remember competing to be in a clan for that. That was pretty intense. That was a great way to really cause some undue tension amongst friends.
Yeah,
we've been talking a lot about competitive games, but for me, the most frustrating games are co-op games when your partner just sucks.
Oh.
I've been playing a bit of couch co-op of Halo recently.
Are you about to dub in a flatmate, Tom?
I might be. he may not be quite at the same level that I am in that, you know, I've been playing since I was
Here we go. Let's skip over all the humble breaks. All
right. But
you're a prodigy.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, this is we've got it on a level where every time we die, we go back to, you know, if one of us dies, we go back to the last checkpoint.
Mm.
So, in fact, like we're both dying quite a lot, but you know, you sometimes get stuck doing something and it's just not working, but you keep on doing it, and it's really easy to become frustrated with each other. Mm. And I've almost kicked him out of the house at times.
I feel like we've been there definitely on those lasso runs. We tried to do lasso. I've got legendary difficulty on Halo with every single skull on.
Yeah.
So it's basically like the hardest Halo can ever be. And when you're doing like... We foolishly tried to do it with like three or four people.
Mm.
Trying to coordinate something that difficult with four people, it's like no one comes out of that alive.
Yeah.
No one does. Because you're just there going, okay, look, I think I've got my head on this straight. And then... Old mate Leroy Jenkins comes running in. He goes, don't worry, I got a strategy. I'm going to punch that Wraith in the face. That'll get me through.
Yeah. Even I mentioned it last week on the bad gaming habits, but Ben has a particular habit of whenever we're trying to set up a heist or do some fun as a team on GTA 5, Ben always goes and gets a haircut, changes his shirt.
This is just us dobbing each other in.
You keep bringing this up, and I think the problem's with you, because I'm having a great time using customization options, whereas anytime we try to organize a heist and go, okay, guys, let's do this. Let's rob this bank. Where's Barty? Well, what's Barty doing now? Well, why is he over there? Well, Carlo, what are you doing? And there you are, putting mines on someone's car, having a good old time.
I think you're mistaken.
I think we're all terrible people, Carlo.
All of your sins for ours, Ben.
Yeah, there's a bit of projection going on, I'd say.
All of my sins.
Yeah.
I think you genuinely don't realize how many times you kill teammates when we play GTA.
I think we're going to lose.
It's usually the first thing that you do when we...
Yeah, but mine are funny. I'm like,
wouldn't it be great if we did this segment and then and destroyed a friendship mid-show?
I had missed my favorite.
That's
prank.
It. I'm out.
I had a great prank that I did to everybody, which was every time someone joined the game, I say, "Hey, look at this cool skull I got on the barrel of my gun."
How come when you do it, it's a great prank?
Come on, Ben. That's a pretty great prank. I wasn't getting a haircut.
But when I'm actually playing the game and doing something, that's like
changing your
Ben
shirt.
So
but we're
mad.
All waiting in a flat to play goddamn heist.
Oh my god, Carly, just look at the skull on my gun for a second. All right, let's go to a song. I'm so angry now. This is Yes, We Have Made It to the Dungeon of Tropes. We're going to come back and talk about Dungeon League. All right. It is time for
All rise. Okay.
Phoenix Wright. Someone's been a bit of Phoenix Wright.
Yeah.
Now, right off the bat, I don't know if we can call this a review, Just because
I've already written a review.
Well,
you know, it'll be up on the site.
Eventually, you know, eventually. After I've burnt it.
But
no, it will be.
If you're listening to this on podcast.
Yeah, probably. It will be there's a good chance when you're listening to this.
You're stomping on my ground, Ben.
It'll be up there. No, but
this is like the one thing I've written all year.
I know. Except for all that erotic fan fiction, which, to be fair, was very good. Yeah. No, I just say that because the game Dungeon League, great indie game, literally just came out today on Early Access.
Mm-hmm.
On Steam. And our experience, Carlo, yours and mine, has mostly been through events and the like.
And me beating you over and over and over again.
Twice, you know.
Thrice.
Twice. Well, twice and two times and a half. Two times and a half.
How's the half work?
Because the first time you played, you came in mid-game.
And won. Three rounds.
But someone else had done the heavy lifting, you know? Anyway, this isn't about destroyed friendships. We've already done that. Tom, you've played more of this game because you've had a copy of this for quite a while, and so you've been playing a lot of it at home, and so you've probably played more modes, played more characters.
Well, this is a game that I've been excited about since I first saw it 9 months ago at PAX.
You and I played in a competition in it.
We
at
did,
PAX.
And we didn't do too well. But
oh, really? Sorry, that's as good as I'm going to feel of this.
But back then. I was told that it was coming out in a month, and it didn't. And so this 9 months has been a really long wait for me, and I'm very excited that it's finally here.
And it's great fun.
So yeah, okay,
it is
so,
a
like,
lot of fun.
We should probably describe it for those who haven't played it.
It's sort of like
have no idea what we're talking.
It's
about.
A competitive. I would say it's a competitive dungeon crawling RPG sort of game. Huh. So it's sort of like in the format. It takes the form of a top down. Dungeon crawling RPG, but it is round based competitive multiplayer, like party multiplayer, really.
Yeah, and there are lots of different game types and competitions within that competition.
Deathmatch and
racing.
Yeah. Yeah. Gambling, poker.
Gwent.
It's all there. No, those things aren't there. But, you know, it's a great party game, which is why I think it's gone down so well when we've played it at Bonus Stage or Beer and Pixels, or any event where you've got mates standing around, drinking, having fun, in a social atmosphere, really.
Yeah.
Who do you guys play as? There are eight characters?
Six.
Six characters to play as.
And all very individual, and which I love.
Yeah,
exactly. I rock Luna.
Oh, nice.
Who's the archer.
I rock Reginald,
who is a swordsman. Other character. Because I'm going to take issue with Carly. Carlo boasts about winning every time. Carlo hasn't changed his strategy once since playing this game. He puts everything into defense immediately.
Right.
Health.
Levels up, puts everything else into defense. And so he just becomes a
walking tank.
And then
if the game's still going, I guess I'll max out dash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charge, rather. Charge.
Whereas every time I've played it, I've tried to try a different character.
Yeah.
And it's sort of it's
and
got
none,
that,
none of them have worked for you, have
it's
they?
It's got
Ben?
That Dota thing for me, or that MOBA thing, where you look at characters and you go, you know, this character has moves that it imply a particular strategy. Like I tried, I forget his name, but there was one guy I tried who had he could heal allies.
Mm. Yeah,
and
Cosmos.
I thought, yeah, and I was like, oh, that
I'm
could be
all
handy.
Over this game.
But of course, you know, that's not just it's not a win button. Like it's something that you also then have to apply with teamwork, how many
strategy.
Points you need to use in it to make effective. You
not
know,
being
so
an idiot.
Yeah, so it's sort of like
it's hard for
it's
you.
That MOBA thing where every character you need to really kind of get a feel for who they are, and like your character Luna is the one that I haven't tried that I really want to.
Yeah,
because I feel like the thing that I enjoy the most in that game is speed.
But what I really love about this game is it's so fast paced.
Mm.
The matches are so well designed in terms of the game types are so well designed that they just keep things moving constantly,
and the maps themselves are. Procedurally generated each match, so it's always going to be a different layout, different enemies and stuff in it.
Yeah, and one of the things that I mentioned in my review, which you can totally check out online, is that like even if you don't know what is going on in your first game,
just mash A.
Like the second game, you might have a bit of an idea, but by the third time, you're a pro.
Yeah,
yeah. I've seen so many people sit down and play that game. Different gaming backgrounds look so baffled the first time. And then by the time they actually walk away from it, they're just, that's a really fun game, you know?
Sometimes shaking because they want their next hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Thompson, who is the cinematographer for our sketches for Bonus Stage, he made this great comment and said,
Is there a game going on that I'm not aware of? Like, how many times we can mention Bonus Stage?
Mention what?
No.
Bonus Stage? It's the live stage show.
Oh, yeah. August 26, yeah.
Anyway, Chris, he made this comment, which was, this game should come with DLC, which is that you get a six-pack of beer and three friends delivered to your house.
You know what? That's the only thing I think about it, is that, you know, it's just the curse of all party games. You need to have an environment where you can just play with friends in the real world.
And you know what? Like, we've been talking about destroyed friendships, but one of the interesting things that happened to me while I was playing this game is my roommates were out, but I really wanted to play it. So I went downstairs. I live in an apartment. Went to the apartment downstairs where there's this 16-year-old dude who I've never really spoken to before, but I knew he liked games. So I was like, hey, can you come and play this game with me? And we started playing. So, like, I've actually made friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially because that could have gone so many different ways.
Yeah.
That's great, though. Way. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's exactly the kind of reason that the games like this should exist.
And it has been like that, like, at events. It is one of those games you'll just sit down and play, even if you don't know the other three players.
Mm.
And you're on a team with someone, and then you start making out with them later on.
Is that another story you want to tell?
Someone had a passion dungeon league.
It's a passionate game.
Yeah,
Reginald.
Tom, is there much? I mean, let's talk about any extra features, because we've only really played that sort of. How many? Obviously, maps procedurally generated, so that's an eternal thing.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you say about longevity? Of this game.
I think this game's good in small sessions. Mm. If it's just the same group of people, I don't think you can play it for hours at a time. But you can certainly pick it up and play a little bit here and there.
Just a little bit every day.
Yeah.
It's really good if you've got some roommates or something.
A few mates. And just have a few laughs, you reckon?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So, like, maybe if you had a bigger group environment to sort of be rotating players out kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I went to one playtesting night where there was a big bunch of us, fairly large amount of alcohol involved, and we were just sort of rotating in and out, and I think that's the best possible scenario.
So, I guess... Game. To sum up what you were saying, Tom, I guess you would say the best way is just to get a few mates, laughs, a few good times, just a little bit every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'd concur. It's a great game, and I'm looking forward, now that it's sort of in early access, to be able to play it more than one game at a time, really. And I want to try those characters. Like, I want to get good at something. I want to beat Carla.
You have to get up pretty early in the morning, Ben.
7. Oh, I will. I'll be there doing my training montage. I'll have my headband.
Dun.
Yeah. Push it dun, to the dun, limit.
Dun, dun. It's out there. It's on Steam. Dungeon League. It's definitely worth checking out. And it's a game, even though it's released, I think we're going to try and keep getting it at Bonus Stage just because it's a fun game to play.
Yep.
So maybe come and play it at the next Bonus Stage.
Woohoo!
All right, let's go to some messages, come back and wrap this bad boy up. You're in 2RRR 88.5 FM. Well, that brings us to the end of another show.
Yay!
Let's all go home. As always, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Big Head Mode 2RRR, and website bigheadmode.com.au. You can look up Dungeon League. They've got a website. 8-Bit Studios is their name. Follow them on Twitter. Great game.
Mm-hmm.
Bonus Stage, all the deets are on the website for that, and our Facebook. Find out about our show coming up. In the meantime, we're going to play out with a track that I'm put in there just because it has Dungeon in the title.
Nice.
This is the Dungeon Medley by the 1UPs from all the Zelda games. It's a medley of dungeon music.
Good choice, Ben.
We'll see you guys next week. Till then, bye.
Hooroo.